You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Take me to the water, take me to the sea.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vest of righteousness and hold tight to your steering paddle as we wade through the water of the Word of God. Before we start lesson 12, I just want to bring something that I told you before was dear to my heart, and that's Good Samaritan Ministries. I'm heavily involved there as a volunteer, and one of the things that I like to bring from time to time is to basically promote what they're doing, because what you have there are businesses that are being run by the people who are in recovery. They're recovering and recovered adults that have gone through such things as drug addiction and alcohol addiction. They have criminal records and all the rest. And these same people are now working in the ministry in various areas to support their own rehabilitation. Now, one of the things they have is landscaping and lawn service. They have tree and stump removal, lot clearing. They have remodeling and installation of flooring, doors, windows, fencing, kitchens, and bathrooms. They have commercial and residential cleaning service. They have furniture moving and storage. They have all auto and truck maintenance and repair. You can donate to the thrift store and get free pickup of bulk items. Now, the number to call is 772-335-7677. I'll repeat that. 772-335-7677. Or you can look at their website, which is goodsamaritanpsl.org. Now, I thought about one of the verses in one of my favorite Shakespeare plays, which is The Merchant of Venice. And one of the things he says in it is, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It falleth like a gentle rain, blessing both the giver and the receiver." Now, one of the things why I think it's important to look at ministries that are basically be giving people a hand up, not a hand out, is because you benefit from it and they benefit. We're not asking for contributions. We're asking to use the services that they have and to help them. So the quality of mercy is not strained. It falleth like a gentle rain from heaven and is twice blessed, blessing both the giver and the receiver. Now, we left off last time, and we were talking about the horrors of some of the things that our government has done concerning abortion and what the purpose behind it basically is, eugenics. And I wanted to now bring you some of the verses that God has to say about those same things. In Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Preach the gospel to the poor. That's who. One of the reasons why the Lord was sent here. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, and to set liberty that them are to be bruised. So these things are important for us to understand. And one of the things we see, and I experienced this in my own life, and that was working with students called Gifted and Talented. One of the things that happened in my life was I was asked to teach at the National Aquarium in Baltimore, and I was asked to teach the G&T program. And I found out something very interesting, because before they first came out and observed me to see how I taught my own classes, and they allowed me to have the position with one other exception, and that was I had to take a mini course at the University of America University on teaching G&T kids, gifted and talented. And one of the things that happened during that course, what I thought was amazing, they have found that frequently G&T programs, when a student is admitted accidentally and is not G&T, he ends up performing as G&T. So one of the things I thought about was a verse in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." And there was something else that happened that was interesting. I was asked to teach a group of students called Magi, M-A-G-I, and it was the Maryland Association of Gifted Intellectuals. Now, these were kids that were 10, 11, and 12 years old and were in college. Now, the reason they asked me to teach them was because the professors that they had in the colleges were socially were not the same. They didn't understand how the minds of kids work, even though they were brilliant. So they asked me to come in and teach various courses for them. And one of the things that I found out is later on in life when I met them, they hadn't done anything that special with their lives, even though they had all this intellectual ability. In fact, a lot of ability that we see when children are young, it's just because they're not precocial. Precocial just means they advance very quickly. And I saw this in athletics. The kids that were bigger, stronger, and faster because they developed faster were the ones that got all the attention. In fact, probably in sports today, there are many people who never got an opportunity to do what people like Tom Brady did and all the others. It's not because they didn't have the ability. It's because they just developed late and were never given the opportunity. So that's something to keep in mind. And also 2 Corinthians 8:9, for your sake he became poor so that you, by his poverty, you might become rich. So one of the things that I want to relate to is something that happens in the government, and it's pretty much brought to a head by a particular president, Woodrow Wilson. If you remember, he was president during World War I. And this is what he said at the end of his life. He said, I am a most unhappy man. I have unwittingly ruined my country. A great industrial nation is now controlled by its system of credit. We are no longer a government by free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and the vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of a small group of dominant men. He mentioned that and stated that because he had allowed in the signing of the Federal Reserve Act. And by the way, the Federal Reserve Act, which governs our interest rates, which are changing right now rapidly, it's not federal. It has no reserves. It is a system of perpetual debt loans. It is privately held, not by U.S. government. They are created basically to make money, to make a profit. So we see that. And also, it was interesting because Woodrow Wilson made another statement, and he really regretted getting in to World War I. And what happened was, if you remember, he expressed that we were going to remain neutral, and this war was going on for 3 years, and the amount of people were dying. And you know what was interesting was the combatants, the parents of the boys that were dying, and the wives of the husbands that were fighting and dying, they were revolting, and it almost looked like they were just going to say, "Okay, it's a stalemate, let's forget it." But then what happened was they convinced Woodrow Wilson to enter the war. And there were some things that happened. The Lusitania sunk, and they said it was just full of a passenger ship. Later on, when they resurrected the Lusitania, they found out it was carrying munitions, and which made it fair game. And also there was the Zimmermann plot, which was a falsehood that said that Germany had offered Mexico, if they declared war on the U.S., they offered them several of the states of the U.S. This is all just made up. But he regretted it because looks like the war was going to end without a winner. But one of the main reasons why he went into the war was because of the industrialists and the people, the bankers who were in America, were worried that if it ended in a stalemate, the countries that owed them money would never get it. They'd never get paid back. So because of that, they ended up getting into the war for financial reasons. Kind of a sad story. If you look at that, you can research that online, but it was a sad story, and he regretted both World War I and also the Federal Reserve Act. Now, I want to bring up something else, because I was visiting Australia. My wife is from Australia, and we were there for at the time I was still teaching, and I had summer off, and so we spent a summer there. And one of the things that happened was on the way back, I got DVT, which is deep vein thrombosis. And I got off the plane in Dubai in the Emirates, and I could hardly walk. My leg was real stiff. I didn't know what was going on. It was just one leg. And then when we got back home, I rested it. And then I went to work, and I was getting the canoes ready because I was ready to start the canoeing program. And I started coughing up blood. Well, to make a long story short, I ended up having deep vein thrombosis and had to be admitted to the emergency room, and I had blood clots in 60% of my lungs and nearly died. Well, while this was going on and I was in the hospital, my wife was a vice president of a very powerful women's club in Baltimore, and she had got the Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor to come to speak to them. And when she came, she gave my wife a huge packet of a summary of all the Supreme Court cases in the last 50 years. And it was kind of interesting because there I am laying in the hospital, and then I had to recover afterwards. So I ended up reading it. And one of the cases that really caught my attention, which I think is something that we need to be aware of, it was a Supreme Court decision called Caperton versus A.T. Massey Cold. It happened in 2009. And what happened was the court upheld the 14th Amendment due process clause that judges must recluse themselves from cases that represent a possibility of bias. Now, what had happened was Caperton had sued Massey Cole, and in lower courts, he was awarded $50 million because Massey Cole had reneged on a contract they had. Well, then what Massey did was they appealed it, and the judge that was going to decide the case, they actually supported him with contributions and got him elected, and he was going to hear the case. Well, Caperton brought this up and said, how can he hear the case when Justice Brent Benjamin of the Supreme Court of Appeals of West Virginia refused to recuse himself from the case, even though he had received money from Massey Cole? Well, this went to the Supreme Court, and fortunately, the Supreme Court ruled that they could not do this. Now, if you think about that for a minute. A judge now cannot rule in a case if he has a contribution made to him. And I couldn't help but thinking about those that make the laws in our country. All of them receive contributions. In fact, a study was done, and they said that a senator, in the last 2 years of his term, spends two-thirds of his time raising money. Well, where is he raising money from? Well, they're donors. And there seems to be, between the government and business, a revolving door. In fact, 50% of the House and Senate, when they leave office, they go to work as lobbyists. Well, they know all the ins and outs of the government. So there becomes this revolving door, the magic revolving door between business and the government. So what we're ended up seeing is, wow, you know, these decisions are being made. I don't know why we can't apply that same Caperton versus Massey Cole, the same thing to our senators and our congressmen. They should not be allowed to vote on things that they've received contributions from. For example, if you receive contributions from a pharmaceutical company and you receive millions of dollars for your campaign, should you be the one deciding whether or not this drug should be allowed? No, you shouldn't. But it's just simple common sense. But that's not the way it is. That's the way the world works here. Okay, now I want to relate to you Matthew 15:9. We should be concerned with sound doctrine, not traditions, because they are traditions of demons in 1 Timothy 4:1. We are commanded to nourish our words and our faith and our sound with sound doctrine. The only thing that does matters is Scripture. That is our ultimate authority. If anyone advocates a different doctrine, does not agree with sound words, those of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that doctrine is godless. So I wanted to bring that up because I'm going to go into Scripture now, and we're looking at whether or not Scripture allows abortion. And here's some things that I want to go over, some of the verses in Scripture. First one is Leviticus 18:21. You're not to make any of your children pass through the fire to Moloch. Do not profane the name of the Lord. I am the Lord. And then you see another verse. Whosoever be in the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. We see this over and over again in Leviticus 20:2-5. If a people of land do any ways hide their eyes from the man who giveth his seed to Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against him. So the Bible has many, many other verses. I'll just give a few more, so I don't want to belabor the point, but there's literally hundreds of them. In 2 Kings 16:3, we read, King Ahaz walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire, following the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. And then in Psalm 106, they shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. Jeremiah 19:4-5, where they have forsaken me and made this place of foreign gods. They have burned sacrifices to the gods that neither their fathers nor their kings of Judah never knew. They have filled this place with blood of the innocent. They have built the high places to Baal and to burn their sons as an offering. Now we see this, I mean, the entire Psalm, section of Psalm 106 says this: they did not destroy the peoples of the Lord had commanded them, but mingled with the nations and imitated their ways. They served their idols that ensnared them. They sacrificed to demons and their own sons' daughters, shedding innocent blood, the blood of their sons. This is all relating to the admonition we have against that type of activity, abortion. And by the way, I just want to mention, probably there's people listening out there having abortion. You know, when I went to CareNet, the woman who was a liaison at our table had had two abortions. She realized now it was wrong, and she corrected her behavior, and she was now working in opposite direction. So there's no sin that you can possibly commit that the Lord will not forgive. You need to repent from that, turn away from it, but God forgives all sin. And then in Ezekiel, he says, "And you took your sons and your daughters whom you had born to me." Remember, you had born to me. He considers them his. "And these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children?" He calls them my children, delivering them up to the offering by fire to them. These are all things that have happened. And even just recently, I was reading something that happened in Rome on November 6, 2019, not that long ago. At the entrance to the Colosseum in Rome, they had reconstructed a pagan idol which demanded child sacrifice and was stationed at the entrance of Rome's Colosseum as part of a secular historical exhibit. If you would look at this thing, it was gross looking. It looked like, if you've ever seen the creature of the Black Lagoon, it looked like his head with horns and wings. And they were having this before them. Well, controversy arose among the Roman Catholics because they had, 9 days later, they were to have the Amazon Synod and a subsequent scandal over the veneration of Pachamama, which was an idol that the Vatican had, which was carved in wood. It was a wooden carving of a naked pregnant woman with the world carved on her stomach. Well, a lot of the people were upset about this and took that wooden idol and threw it in the Tiber River. But one of the things we have to understand is these things are still evident today. And one of the things that I ran across, and I ran across this a number of years ago, that even today, there's a place called Bohemia Grove, and many of our past presidents, including people like Cheney and Nixon and Reagan and Schwarzenegger, these all have gone to Bohemia Grove. And what happens there? Well, they have the ceremony called the Cremation of Care, which occurs near the end of their visit there. A giant fire is lit, and they have what looks like a child, and they set it on fire. Now, they call it the Cremation of Care. They call the child care. In other words, they're basically getting rid of care. But it's very similar to Moloch worship, and almost is identical. And if you look at the commentaries on the Gallic War that Julius Caesar wrote about in the first century B.C., Caesar claimed that a large man shaped in an effigy called the Wicker Man would be built right before they were attacked the city, and they would sacrifice and burn this effigy of a wicker man who they had people trapped inside. And this supposedly would appease their gods. And this was even written about by Julius Caesar. So these things are around. In fact, one of the things that I found really important is something that just recently happened a week ago. And that was in Maryland, a bill which allowed the killing of babies, an infanticide, that were 28 days after birth. The Maryland legislature basically had a whole bunch of people there that were abortion advocates, and they were pushing their radical agenda for abortion, even in babies that were a month old, and allowing that. Now, this was not allowed, and they didn't pass it, but there's a lot of things that happen like that that we have to be aware of, and as Christians, we have to stand up against them. Now, I have to, it's kind of an interesting thing, because when Roe versus Wade was made in 1973, abortion on demand was available, but only up until 28 weeks, the first trimester. Now, what you see today is they're being performed right up to birth and even after birth in some cases. So you can see that they're not even abiding by the way the law was originally written. And there was something that was sort of paradoxical. In 1973, the same year that the decision of Roe versus Wade was made, there was a law passed about sea turtle nests. If you go, and sea turtles need, and if you're in Florida, I go to Jensen Beach quite often, in the spring when the turtles come in and lay their eggs, they put up fences around them. Well, there's a law that if you disturb that nest, you can spend 60 days in jail and be fined $500 plus $100 per per each egg that you disturb. It's kind of interesting. At the same year that we're protecting sea turtles, we're actually allowing the eggs of humans to be destroyed. And one of the verses that come to mind is the verse in Romans 1:25, where the truth of God, they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And if you go to Georgia, you can find something really interesting. It's called the Georgia Guidestone. And these were erected anonymously in 1980. And they're actually inscribed with 12 different languages. And it's this huge granite marker. And one of the things they have inscribed are 10 guides for the new age of reason. And one of the things there, right at the top, is maintain humanity under a half a billion people. Now, you know, that's a problem because we have almost 8 billion today. And one of the things that, when you talk about this new world order they were seeking, now, our current president, he just mentioned, just yesterday, he mentioned that he was preparing us for the new world order. In fact, he had stated this as vice president back in 2013 when he was vice president. He said about the new world, what is this new world order? Well, it's on the seal of the United States, Novus Ordo Seclorum, and which means the new world order. And above it is the new coeptus, which means it's favoring the new world order. What is this new world order? Okay, well, one of the things that you can see is happening with this, and it's actually affecting the battle that's going on now in Ukraine. And that's that we're having a rough time even stopping it. How can we stop it? Because doing these sanctions is really not going to really have any major effect on it. But if all nations were under one world order, then everybody would have to follow it. And the new world order is composed of the Trilateral Commission, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, it's the Club of Rome, the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, the United Nations. They're all part of this, and they really want, and they're trying to make justification for the fact that everything will be under one world order. And you can see where that's leading, and we'll bring that up again when we get to the Book of Revelation and what happens with the Antichrist. And you know, I don't want to badmouth some of the things about turtles, and because I use turtles quite a lot because there's a really interesting phenomenon in turtles. If you look at aquatic turtles, you find that on their outside they have these scutes, and they have 28 scutes on the outside, and then they have a semicircle that connects with five larger scutes on the left side, five on the right, and three in the middle. Well, there was a book written called The 13 Moons on Turtle's Back. If you look at the turtle, the Native Americans were able to keep time by counting the scutes, the outer 28. It takes 28 and a half days for a new moon to appear. And the 13 moons, there are 12 moons, one for each month, but there's an extra one every 2.5 years called the blue moon. In fact, this month, it's March, and we're in the crow moon, or also the moon of the worm moon, it's also known as. And it's called the worm moon because at this particular time up north, the ground begins to thaw and worms begin to come out. It's also known by something else, which is kind of interesting, which is the moon of popping trees. And what happens up north, when the weather starts changing, you get cold nights, freezing nights, and warm days, it sets up the capillary action to bring the sap up the tree. So the sap, which is loaded with sugar, it's somewhat resistant to freezing down to about 24, 23 degrees. But what happens is sometimes you get a real cold snap, and what happens is the sap is trapped in the tender branches, and, of course, they're in the xylem and phloem cells. And what happens is it expands and cracks. So the moon, the popping trees, you see the trees crack open. Kind of interesting, you can relate that to Christianity. You know, there's times when we become very cold, when we're far from God, and we begin to crack. Okay, well, the answer to the salvation to that is to go back to the Word of God and get back into reading His Word. And one of the things that I want to bring up, further evidence about the whole concept of eugenics that's in place in the United States. Before the horrors of the Nazi eugenics was revealed, groups seeking population control forced sterilization in 37 states. And it went before the Supreme Court in 1927. And the Supreme Court decision, Buck versus Bell, upheld that, yes, it's good and proper for the government, if it wants to sterilize people. This is kind of scary, especially when you look at what recently happened with a PBS staff attorney on video calling for children of Republicans to be put in re-education camps. This guy, Michael Baer, was recorded in a video saying it was great to see COVID cases spike in red states because hopefully more Trump supporters would get it and die. And then he said, even if Biden wins, we go for all the Republican voters and Homeland Security will take their children away. This is comments made by this particular gentleman. So you can see we have to be very aware of these things. It's interesting because I found this comment made by a Christian about his student asked his teacher one time, why do I have to go to school? And this was her answer. She said, so you can be molded into a state-approved homogeneous drone that cannot think outside a prescribed consensus, that you will learn to repeat information instead of how to think for yourself, so that you don't become a threat to the status quo. When you graduate, you will get a job, pay your taxes in order to perpetuate the corporate system of indentured servitude. So kind of a funny thing. In fact, one of the things I was really upset about in education, I saw what was happening. The critical thinking was being eliminated. I talked before about backwards mapping, how we determine what you're to believe, and then we then set up a set of information you're supposed to read and study that will lead you to that point. In other words, you make the test first and move everything toward it. So there's no debate. There's no structuring arguments. There's no reflection. There's no analysis. There's no acquisition of information or creativity. We just accept it and gut it. Okay, now, the next thing is, I always thought about this. We have an opportunity as believers to do what I call, as a child, the do-over. Okay, we can reset. Now, what happened was when we were playing baseball and somebody would hit a ball and it looked like, well, it was fair or foul, and we'd have an argument over it. We say, okay, let's just do it over. Okay, so one of the things we see instant replay in sports today. Well, what we need to do as Christians is reset our mind, and our mind should be reset on that gyroscope I talked about earlier. We should reset our mind on the things of God, because what we're working against is the how to control the way people think. And how they do it, they create or buy out news organizations. They publish only stories that promote their agenda. They maintain debate within a strictly limited range of views and subjects. They focus on traumatic events to keep the people transfixed in fear. And these are things that we have to be aware of. For example, today, an average person sees 4,000 to 10,000 commercials per day. This is amazing. All these things are trying to influence us, to keep us from thinking, to just keep us reacting to things. And one of the things we'll talk about next time, which I had a lot of experience in, which is debating. And in debating, there's several things called that you have to be on the lookout for, called poisoning the well. Things which people do to get your mind and your thoughts and your attention off of things. One of them, and I mentioned it before, is called the either or. In other words, there's only two choices. Well, that's not true. There are multiple choices. In fact, even if there were only two choices, you really have four. You can choose one or the other or neither or both. And there's other things. The straw man. The straw man is where they set you up and say you believe a certain thing, which you don't even believe. And then those things are attacked. They're not even something that you believe in. And they use that as an argument. Okay. As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at Comcast.net.
Say